There is this thought process with a lot of people that they think, if I do this, this will just happen. If I lose this weight, then I will be happy with my life. If I get into this relationship, I'll be good with everything else. And things don't happen like that. And we have to be purposeful. I wanted to get in shape. I did. But I also wanted to find my meaning, find my why, find some purpose in all this. Yeah, I remember sitting in my office one day. And I told myself, just call your therapist. And he asked me straight up. He was like, did you feel that losing the weight would be just the fix to everything? And I said, yeah, I've checked all the boxes. You have worked on one part of your life. You've worked on the things that people can see. You've worked on the physical stuff. He's like, you haven't worked on yourself yet.
What's going on, everybody? This is your man, Lionel. I am super excited to be with you in this place and in this space again, as we talk about how do you get from where you are to where you want to be. That's the topic of conversation. So let's make this show happen. It's time for Words for Change. Where we're back with our guest today, Mark Poisson. What's going on, Mark?
Lionel, I am so appreciative to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm just enjoying this great Sunday. That's all I'm doing. Thank you so much.
I know. It is a great Sunday, man. Yeah, you are out in the Georgia area, what I learned pre-show, and I'm in San Diego. Love San Diego, man. We actually moved here recently. I'm active duty military, so I travel and go back and forth quite a bit. And so prior to here, we were in Washington State, but now we're here, man, in San Diego, man, and we actually get a chance to see sun after all the rain.
Yep.
Yeah, man. So, hey, everybody, we have Mark here. And let me tell you something about Mark. Y'all know I do my research. And Mark is, he's a stud, okay? Mark is a, he has a business called the 6 a.m. Run Club. He's the host of Relatively Normal Podcast and his 6 a.m. Run Podcast. Mark is a certified fitness trainer. Mark has been, I went and checked out some of his websites, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, Mark. I'm going to let you go through all of that stuff. But Mark has transformed his life and from, you know, a individual who experienced a lot of pain that led to him being overweight. Am I right, Mark?
That's correct. That? Yes.
And he lost over 100 pounds. Is that right, Mark?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's just a small, let me tell y'all something. Okay. I like to eat. And that's the problem. That's why I have to work out, because I like to eat. And I'm an older guy now. I don't play sports like I used to, but man, I'm telling you, trying to lose 10, 20, 30 pounds is a magnanimous feat. This brother lost over, man. So Mark lost over 100 pounds, and he's been doing the doggone thing, helping people all across the world with what he does with his fitness program, 6 a.m. Running Club, all the podcasts he hosts. He's been in the game for a very, very long time. And I am delighted to have him join us here on the Words for Change podcast today, Mark. So, Mark, you want to fill in any of the spaces that I missed with all of that stuff, man? Welcome on to the show, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, first of all, let me say thank you for your service. My brother is active military. He's in the Navy. He's based outside of Jacksonville, Florida. So, okay. He has been in Northern California, up in the D.C. area. So he's done the whole, I know what you're talking about when you got to move around a lot. I know what you're talking about.
It's tough life,
yeah.
Man.
So they seem to have found their space in Florida now. He's got two kids about to be in high school and one about to be in middle school. So, you know, it's tough with those kids. Like they find their they find their friends. They find the people they like to hang out with. And it's like, guess what? We got to go. So,
Mark, we just sent the daughter to college. Mm. And man, let me tell you something. she totally ghosted us. I was like, what is going on? I thought we were friends.
Like, no, I'm here now. Y'all stay there. I'm here now. I'm good. So, but thank you for the introduction. You're absolutely right. There is, and I'll let the people know this. Growing up, I'm not going to even sit here and tell you like I didn't get everything I needed as a kid growing up. I'm going to sit here and tell you the truth. I'm not a person that, you know, quote unquote, had it hard and had to struggle and all that good stuff. And that's what really makes me do my best to understand any type of mental issue or mental opportunity that people may have, because a lot of times you can't see it. Now, just like you, I love food. Like I love food. And for a portion of my life, I liked bad food. And
yeah,
you know, leaving sports in college, getting to my adult life, no one was there to tell me constantly, you got to work out, got to watch what you eat, got to get up at this time and be working out at this time, and you got to be structured and all that stuff. And it hit me. It hit me hard. And you know, back pain, ankle pain, knee pain, all that stuff, you know, hard to wake up in the morning. And as I got closer and closer to getting married, I was thinking to myself, like, I don't want to be a dad that has to say no to my kids because I can't move, because I'm tired, because I just don't feel right. So that's when I understood how much your reasoning, how much your why meant. You had to find that why. And I never had found mine. I had people in my life that cared about me. I had people in my life that wanted to see me succeed, but that never was enough. And then the thought of being a father and a husband, it's like, wait a second, I need to be there for my family, for my kids. And that was my why to starting this journey.
I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it.
So let me tell you, let me ask you this question, Mark. How did you get there? Like, what was the psychological experiences that led you to that spot, man?
That's such a good question, because I had been through attempting to get in shape, attempting to lose weight so many times. And right. I'd lose 10, 15 pounds and I'd put it right back on. And I get with a buddy to work out, put it right back on. And I finally said, you know, the first part of this journey was mostly about running. And we can think of every excuse not to get out of the house. We can think of like, and it's so many times I would tell myself, I'm going to work out tomorrow. And then tomorrow would come and be like, I'm just so tired, or my back hurts, or something, whatever it is.
Right.
And one day I just stop working. And I said, just go outside and run till you can't run anymore. Like, just go for a jog and just test yourself, because I'm still in that athlete mentality. I still think I can go run 5 miles right now. I can do it.
So I'm laughing because, boy, I tried that. Hey, so you said you played sport. Did you run track or you play ball or what?
I played soccer in college and I played basketball and soccer throughout my life. So I was goalkeeper for Clemson. Yeah. So when I'm telling you, like, I knew conditioning, like I knew what I needed to do. But I was just I left the game with kind of a bad taste in my mouth. And I think that had a lot to do with it, where I didn't want anything to remind me of it. And so I went out that day And I literally ran half a mile and I was drenched in sweat, just absolutely drenched in sweat. And I like this story because on the way to this half a mile, this 5 minutes of running, I passed this bus, which had the big mirrored windows. Mm-hmm. And I remember I didn't see it on the way out, but I saw it walking back and I looked at myself and I just didn't know what happened. I didn't know how I got to this point. And I told myself that I'm going to run past this bus a couple times a week. And I'm not going to stop running until I like what I see. Mm. And 9 months later and 75 pounds later, I finally got to a point. And I know I skipped 9 months is a short amount of time.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there, Mark. Hey, brother, listen, I can go outside and run and see me in the mirror and be like, okay, let me go grab a donut. You know what I mean? Like, but like, I want to talk about that dash, bro. I want to talk about what happened because that's some not only physical transformation you experienced, mm-hmm. but what was the mental transformation like? It had to be something more than just like seeing that and going like,
It was, and I talk about this a lot, and because at this point, for this first part of it, the 9 months was totally, I'll be honest with you, it was totally physical, and I wasn't working on my mental, and I literally thought to myself, and anybody listening, I want to tell you right now, there is this thought process with a lot of people that they think, if I do this, this will just happen. If I lose this weight, then I will be happy with my life. If I get into this relationship, I'll be good with everything else. And things don't happen like that. And we have to be purposeful. We have to live with purpose. We have to live with intent when it comes to the things that we want. I wanted to get in shape. I did. But I also wanted to find my meaning, find my why, find some purpose in all this. But I said to myself at this time, Lionel, if I lose this weight, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be fine. Mm. And so I lose.
Then, go ahead. Okay, okay. I'm anticipating. I'm like, okay, he's about to drop the bomb. Okay, so go ahead, brother. Sorry.
I lose this weight. And before I lost the weight, I had been in, you know, weekly and biweekly therapy just to work through some things I had going on. Mm. And I lose all this weight. And I remember sitting in my office one day. And I told myself, just call your therapist real quick. Call him. You haven't talked to him in a while. Just call him. Mm. And I call him. And I remember saying to him on the phone, I said, Doc, listen, I've gotten married. I bought the house. I got fit. I still don't feel like everything is there. I still don't feel happy. Mm. And he asked me straight up. He was like, did you feel that losing the weight would be just the fix to everything? And I said, yeah, that's I've checked all the boxes.
Right. That's why I went through it. Yeah.
I checked all the boxes. And he said, you know what? I want you to come in for a few sessions and let's talk about this because you have worked on one part of your life. You've worked on the things that people can see. You've worked on the physical stuff. He's like, you haven't worked on yourself yet. Mm. We have to do everything specifically and watch how they intertwine. Not one is over here that just immediately kicks to the other. Like we have to work on both of them and see how they're connected. And that, I mean, I was on the phone, I'm not gonna lie, I was on the phone tearing up in my office because I was so like, I had worked so hard to get where I was. And I was like, oh, there's more work to do. There's more work to do. Mm. And
So Mark, I'm walking with you through this journey. So you realize that it's going to take more than physical fitness, which is something that we talk about a lot in the military. We talk about physical fitness with the Marines, but we also talk about spiritual fitness. All right. So me and you know, I'm a minister. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you figured that out. Well, the big old title that says Reverend Lionel somewhere, but I got to get my horns together over here so I can ping it every time. But I talk about what are the immaterial parts of who we are that makes us who we are? So it sounds like you realize that after you have checked the boxes of physical fitness and getting things right and having your personal physical life and material life in order, you were missing something. So what was that? What was the moment in your life when you realized, like, explain to us who are listening, was it emptiness that you felt? Did you feel frustrated? Were you mad, angry? Were you still trying to go through childhood stuff that was just kicking your butt, or what?
It was my relationship with myself. That's what was missing. And I'm going to explain it to you real quick. And it doesn't really take that much time. Is I am a very empathetic person. I am a very giving person. And I will give you the shirt off my back. I will give you the last dollar out of my wallet. I would do anything I can to make you okay. And I had not been doing the same thing for myself. Any drop of a hat, if a friend needed something, I'm up out of bed. Anything, I had zero boundaries. I had zero worth for myself. I thought everything else was worth more than me. Through this journey, in the past 2 years of this journey, I've started to prioritize my own feelings and prioritize how important I am. And that's tough for a lot of people. I understand that's tough for a lot. We're almost taught sometimes to give. It's better to give than receive. It's be open. I understand all that. But what I tell people, and what I had to understand myself, is that if someone were to go through and just list everything that's important to them in their life, whether that be their kids, their parents, their loved ones, their wife, their husband, their hobbies, their job, anything that is important to them that they hold high, there's one common denominator, and that's you. Mm. It's literally you. Right. And I started to understand that if I did not take care of my mental and physical health, if I didn't take care of my emotional health, if I didn't just become the best version of myself, I will let others down. Mm-hmm. Where I thought it was the other way around. I thought if I didn't take care of everybody else, I would let myself down. Mm.
Wow.
And we talk about intrinsic versus extrinsic things and internal meaning versus external. We talk about all that stuff. We talk about, and I'm teaching this to my girls now because we know how kids are. Right. Like when they're younger, they want all, they buy me this, I want this, I want these things. And I ask them all the time, I said, do you know, you girls only love me when I buy you stuff. And I do it as a joke. But at the same time, I want them to hear and be like, oh, wait, well, no. And they have to think, you see their little brains going, and like, they know it's a joke, but then they're like, no, like, even if daddy didn't buy his stuff, like, he's still daddy. Right. Like, he would still. And so through this whole process, if we were to go back the last 10 years of my life, you could probably look at like a year I was going through physical changes, then a year I was going through mental changes, and like 6 months and 6 months and whatever, whatever. And then it wasn't until one day I'm getting, you know, therapy, my just normal checkup. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, I have a coach for my mental health. Mm. Why have I never had a coach for my physical health? Mm. Like, it makes sense.
Right, right.
It makes
for
sense.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the next day I went out and got a physical trainer. I got my own personal trainer, and he wasn't necessarily showing, of course he was showing me things I hadn't known before, but it's weird when somebody on the outside, and you know this being in the military, it's almost like someone on the outside pushes you past this preconceived limit,
right,
that you have.
Right, man. Oh, and I'm writing that down. See, yeah. Because there are a lot of people that have limits right now. You know, let me share this real quick and just put a pin. because I wrote that down, preconceived limits. I'm writing it down right now. So my daughter, one of my daughters, I have three daughters, one son, and three grandsons, three boys.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I love them. They're awesome kids. So one of my 16-year-old, she said, "Dad, I'm going for a run today for 5 miles. Now, when she said this, I was like, I don't feel like running. It was my birthday yesterday. So me and my wife had a long day together, like hanging out. She took me out downtown. It was our first time hanging out downtown in San Diego. So it was really a good time. We enjoyed ourselves hanging out and all the sights and people. It was just so cool. So I was like, well, today I'm just going to, I'll recoup. So my daughter says, fast forward, she says, I'm going for a run. And the first thing that came to my mind was go with her. And I was like, I don't think I can do this today. And so I decided to. And what I realized, I didn't realize until after the run. Okay. So I start out and she just takes off running, Mark. And I'm like, I can't keep up with that. So I'm just going. And we were running uphill. So I'm like, I can't keep up with that. And then, you know, as I see people passing by on the road, you know, that ego kicks in. The ego is like, man, that girl is outrunning you. And I'm like, no, but if I try to run, I'll gas out. I won't last. And so long story short, we go running and then my mentality kicks in, right? The running thing, I've run. I'm not a professional runner, nothing like that. But I'm not like you, Mark, not even close. But I ran a marathon before, so I know, I trained for it, so I know you got to pace yourself, breathe, and all this kind of stuff. So it kicks in. All of that training starts kicking in, and I get into a rhythm. I find my pace, and I'm like, okay. And then, but I notice she starts breathing hard. And I'm like, oh. So I get in front of her. I said, let me pace her. So I get in front of her and pace her. And I paced her through from start to finish. It was 5 miles. At the very end, Mark, here's the kick of the reason I'm sharing the story, because she said she was super excited. I said, why are you? She said, because that's the first time I ran 5 miles. I was like, what? She said, it was the first time. I said, but I thought you was running. She says, no, the most I've ever run was a 5K, 3.1 or 3.5 or something like that, Mark. Mm-hmm. And I had no clue that I had the honor and privilege, had no clue to help her run her first 5 miles. And she's going to remember that for the rest of her life. And so will I, that I was a part of that event in her life. And I told her, I said, Faith, you know, I realized that you were breathing hard. And you wanted to stop a few times. And I kept telling you, no. I said, I'll slow down, but we have to keep running. I said, because if you stop, I used to tell my wife this, if you stop, you drop. We said, that's the saying we have in the military. If you stop, you drop. You know, because your body was like, no. If you don't have the mental fortitude, you'll just be like, okay, I'm not going to. So I kept telling her, I said, I knew that we were running uphill, like for at least 2 miles uphill. And I said, but on the way back, because we went 2.5 and then turned around, I said, on the way back, we'll make up time. It was downhill. And she's like, okay, yeah, you're right. And so I didn't realize that here's what I was getting at, this long story around the bend. Everybody knows I got long stories around it. Say short stories, her brother starts talking for 5 minutes. So anyway, she said, it was the first time I ran 5 miles. I said, yeah, you ran it. And I said, but when you got to that 3.5, that 4 miles, I said, it's all mental. I said, for at least I'm not a professional, but I was like, it's all mental. And so what we did was we pushed through her perceived limitation, which is kind of what you were talking about. So that was my experience with that. You was about to say about perceived limitations. Oh, Harold, brother, let him talk. Let him talk. Okay. I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Don't even apologize, because I love stories like that, especially when it involves running, because that is like, you can, ask anybody who is a runner. They have a story like that because whether it has to do with time, distance, or speed. Mm. Like you can ask a sprinter. I never thought I'd, you know, I never thought I'd break 10 seconds. And then I'm 9.8. And then I never thought I'd break 9.8. I'm the 9.7. And then like it's so, and a lot of them involve other people. You know, I go on a lot of just moderate runs now, and then I'll go on a run with someone, and it's like, this person, they're running a little faster than me. And it's like, you'll get to 3-4 miles and you're like, I did not think I had that in me. These limits are, and listen, I want people to understand, like, don't go out and try to push your limit. Don't listen to this and be like, you know what, I'm going to go do it right now. Like, those limits are there for a reason. Like, we self-preservation. Like, we
out there like David Goggins, man, trying to.
Exactly. Please stop. There's a reason why there's only one David Goggins.
Right, exactly.
All right?
Don't,
there's a reason.
let me just disclaimer. Do not. I can see somebody right there. I'm going to run 10 miles. Nope. Don't do it. No. I'm telling you, you'll find out quick.
And it's funny. I think about this all the time because I don't want to say I have a unique perspective, but I have a perspective in the fact that I believe people have their own timetable and people have their own way of doing things. And, you know, we get caught in this all or nothing approach where we'll be in a funk. And believe me, marketers know what they're doing. We'll be in a funk and then we'll hear this one thing. Oh, are you in a funk? Go do this. And it's like our brain immediately attaches to it and says, I have to do exactly what they're saying right now. And while I love influencers, why I love fitness professionals, why I love all these people, everyone will tell you this is the way to do it. And you'll be like, well, this person said this, and they said that was the way to do it. Well, this person said this, and that's, listen, I find your way to do it. There's no point. Try what you want to try. And I'm going to tell you this right now is that happiness does not come. I can speak from personal experience. Happiness does not come from a result. It's never come from a result. It's never come from a arbitrary. Happiness is in the process.
Ooh,
that's where the happiness is.
Mark,
and
that's deep, bro. Happiness is
I want to explain to people because I'm not just the type of person that's going to be like to say words and be like, oh, you figure out the meaning.
Right.
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm not that deep. Believe me, I'm not that.
Is it?
because listen, one of the biggest issues, I want people to know, one of the biggest issues for when people start any fitness program, whether they ask me to help them, whether they ask anybody else, I want to look a certain way. I want to feel a certain way. I want to get to a certain number, whatever it is. Like, I'm not going to bash you for wanting to get to places, but the hardest part of the entire thing is the sustainability. Because of the people who lose the amount of weight that I've lost in my life, less than 5% keep it off. Less than 5%. So you tell me right now how many people were happy as you know what to get to that number. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm good. I did it. Job is complete. So now you'll hear a lot of people in the fitness industry talk about getting people off their programs, what that looks like, what the sustainability part looks like. I've talked to probably in the last 6 months, I've talked to 4 or 5 people in the fitness industry that have talked about this specifically because I had never thought about it before. And they said, you know, the number one goal of a fitness professional is to get people off their program. And I want people to think about that. I want people to think about that. For the number one part of a fitness professional is to get people successfully off their program. And that means making sure they take away all of the tricks of the trade, all of the mindset tools to sustain all the work that they've done.
Right.
Because I tell you right now, what makes a person happy is when they're a month off of a training program, mm-hmm. and they make a correct decision, and they limit the amount of bad fats, or they limit the amount of added sugars, or they don't eat after, they don't emotionally, they're cognizant enough, they're mindful enough to say, I am extremely upset right now. Let me drink this glass of water before I decide to binge eat on sweets, on candy, on hamburgers, hot dogs, all that stuff. Let me calm down before I make this poor decision. That is, and when you do that, I'm telling you right now, everybody, when you do that and you get to that and you're like, that is happiness right now. When you understand that what I have learned and I've become a better person for it.
Right.
That's the happiness right there. So,
man, what makes that powerful in a lot of ways, happiness is the process. Mm-hmm. So when you mention happiness is a process, it took me a while to learn it. And I'll be honest with you, man, because I am very impatient. I think everything should be perfect now. That's how I function. And it's a problem for me. Because I will overthink it, or I take too long and procrastinate, or whatever the case may be. So talk about that process. When you say happiness is a process, what does that process look like, feel like? What is it? What should people relate that to in their own lives?
That is, I don't think you realize how great of a question that is, because just like you, so many people are impatient with the things that they want in life. Mm. However, I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at a person who is in shape, if you look at a person who is, you feel that they're mentally in shape, emotionally in shape, if they've come from a place where they were down, regardless if you want to work with them or not, that's a person you need to sit down and talk to, because what that person has learned is delayed gratification. Mm. That person has learned that. The first time I went for a run, that 5 minutes I told you about, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna get this run and I'm gonna feel good. I'm gonna feel great. I'm gonna look good. I'm gonna look great. Thank God I had those mirrors there, those windows, because at that point I realized this is gonna be a process.
Right.
This is gonna be, and people may look at me and say, oh, 9 months isn't that long. Of a person who is overweight with bad knees, a bad back, not living the life he wants to live, 9 months is an eternity.
Mm.
Is an eternity.
Yeah.
And that wasn't it. Like, we're talking, we haven't talked about the peaks and the valleys,
right,
the surgeries, you know, all that stuff that I went through. But looking back, and you talked about this before, about looking at life and looking at our past as our experience, change is something we need to embrace.
Right.
Looking back, I would not have had it any other way, because I look back and I see everything that I took from, everything I learned, everything I went through, and that process has made me the father, husband, friend, son, cousin, you know, nephew, uncle. It has made, employee, coworker, leader, all that stuff. It has made me the person I am today. Mm. And it has delayed my, now I know at the age I am now, is that if I want something, it's going to take time. But guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to go through the motions. I'm going to enjoy that process, because I've been through what I've been through. I know this is where it is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to take in as much as I can. I'm going to involve the people that I want to be involved in. I'm going to be able to, you know, the people who don't bring joy to this process, I'll be able to say, you stay in your lane. I'm going to stay in my, I'm not going to kick them out of my life. I'm not going to do that, because I want them around, because I want to see the opposite of what I want to be.
Mm.
That's what I want to see that.
That's huge.
And it has changed me in a whole different perspective, and I'm so happy that I went through that process.
So now that you've gone through the process, you've gone through this evolution, physical, now mental, psychological, Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're on the other side. And now we're talking about maintaining, right? So did you continue the therapy process? Did you drop it? How did you, as you said so eloquently before, how did you sustain, right? You talked about the fitness program saying that we need to figure out how to help people sustain. You talked about how you needed to sustain yourself, right? Talking about having that coach. Like, so when people are saying, okay, Mark, I hear you loud and clear, dog. I got it. I understand. But how do I maintain, and what will it take for me to maintain? And I'm talking about the nitty gritty, bro. I'm talking about, you mentioned just a moment ago, it's like people that you should have maybe, like anyone else would have exited those people. He was like, nope, I want you to stay close because I want you to see what I do. I want you to be my opposite. That's deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's something I work on daily, and I have a plan in place. Like, listen, people will, and I don't mean to generalize, right, but as a population, as we will just think tomorrow is there. Mm. We will just think that if I can't make it today, I'll make it tomorrow. Mm. There was a point in my life about a little over a year and a half ago, where I was working at a startup company. And for anybody who hasn't worked at a startup before, like whatever your title is, you do a lot more than that.
Right.
And I was like a church volunteer. Where I had a lot of
work. You start a church, dog. You think you're going to do the only thing is preach? That I learned that when I started some churches, like I'm just going to go study and come out. And now, man, it was like, no, you got to be a lawyer. Uh-huh. You got to be a tax expert. I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this.
Oh, that was perfect. That was perfect. Absolutely correct. And I remember working 10, 12, 14 hour days. Mm. And of course, this is during this process. Again, I am not upset about what I did. I did what I did. Looking back, I chose to do this. But this is also where thank goodness I had a personal trainer, because I had time on my clock, my that I had to be there. And if you know me, like if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to be there. If we make time, I'm going to make time. And thank goodness for that. So, but I'm working late one day, and I say late, it was 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, but I've been working since 8 a.m. So I should have been off 2 hours ago. My daughter comes in my office, which I'm actually recording in right now. And outside is where we have the front of the house and the basketball net. She says, "Daddy, do you want to come outside and shoot hoops with me?" And this is the daughter that lives and dies by sports, loves sports, soccer, basketball, football, everything. She wants to do it all. I said, "Sorry, honey, I'm working. I apologize. I can't do it right now." And she was sad. Of course, she left. And I got to thinking about this a couple hours later. And I told myself, I was like, wait a second. Why did I just do that? Like, that's my daughter. That means more than this job does. And I told her, no, I couldn't, because I'm working when I should be off. Like, wait a second. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. And the reason I tell that story, one, is because I want people to understand that you can't get time back. Like, you can't. Every time my daughter asks me to do something, I make sure I'm able to do it. Now, if I'm truly able to do it, but I really wish I could go back in time and get that one moment back, because she wanted to play basketball with her dad. And I mean, we threw the football yesterday. I've coached her in soccer, but the one thing, to answer your question that you asked me about maintaining, sustaining, all that good stuff, is, I mentioned this before, I prioritize myself. And if I can't prioritize myself, I make time to do it. There are 3 or 4 times a week I wake up before 5 o'clock in the morning to go work out, because I know my kids get on the bus at 7:30. I know I have to get work done. I know when my kids get home, they have soccer practice. I know after that I have dinner. I have all this stuff. And out of the day, I can choose to work out at 9 o'clock at night. But let me ask people right now, you've gone through your entire day working, cooking, cleaning, getting the kids 9 o'clock. You feel like working out? You don't. And even if you have the time, you will talk yourself out of it. So I say, I'm going to get this done first thing in the morning. And that way my day is set. I don't have to think about my physical fitness. I can think about my family and my job and my household. And I don't even have to worry about it. So for people looking to maintain and sustain, you have to understand that you're not going to have anybody setting those times for you. You're not going to have anybody saying, hey, Mark, can we work out at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 10 a.m., or after work at 5? No. So go into it knowing you're going to be the one setting it up. So pick a time that works better for you. And here's the thing. I have a very flexible work schedule. I know some people don't, but you never know until you ask. I understand that we all have different bosses, but if you go to your boss or anybody else, say, listen, you've seen my transition. Like, you've been very happy with what I've done in my life. I've used this time to better myself. I really want to maintain. Is it possible I could start this time or have my lunch at this time or do this? And the worst thing they can tell you is no. And if it's no, then it's like, okay, I tried. I did my best. Let me see what I can do. But what if they tell you yes? What if they're like me as a leader and say, you know what? I appreciate the work that you're doing. I appreciate the person you've become. Let me know how I can help you.
Man, you helping me, man.
So
you helping me right now. Because you said several things. One, being present with your kids, the people that mean most to you, be present. Two, you said if you want to sustain, you got to be willing to ask, the at least confront the barriers that could prohibit your sustainability. Okay, got that. And then you said that you have to be willing to, if you have people that you're accountable to that give you a hard time with that, well, at least you made an attempt, right? That's huge, because I'm sitting here thinking, I need to do better about that. I need to do better about that. Like, how many of you guys listening did not in your mind have visual pictures as Mark was talking about the areas in your life that you've turned the most important thing away that you should have been focusing on? And one that you did not allow yourself the courage to ask for sustainability so that you can keep a healthy lifestyle. So Mark, I'm definitely going to thank you for that, because that's huge, man. That's huge. Cause tomorrow's not promised. You're so right about that. And as a minister or guy who focuses on spiritual things, not just that, but that's at least the essence of what I do in part. I tell people that all the time, and I believe that, but sometimes my actions and my belief system don't always match.
And I don't want to cut you off, in that moment, because everybody has that same little moment, whether it's spirituality, energy, whatever it is, allow yourself grace. Like, understand that none of us are perfect. And I understand that's cliche. I understand. And a lot of people use it when they've done the worst things in the world. I understand that. But for a person, but the reason I say that is because we'll miss a workout. We'll miss a play date. We'll miss something. And then it will ruin our day. It will ruin our week. It will ruin our month. It will stay with us. But for people listening, if you wake up late and you miss a workout, or if you have to stay late at work and you can't make it to something that you've promised, understand that those things are going to happen. Allow yourself grace. Say, you know what? I understand it happened. I cannot change it now. I'm going to move on to the next day. I'm going to apologize to whoever I need to apologize if I need to. But don't let it stop you from being the person you are, because that will linger for so long. If I want to be this person and my actions say otherwise, guess what? you're human.
Right.
I'll talk to you about what I did yesterday. Yeah, like, who cares? Like, right. I mean,
and you know that, that grace, Mark. No, that's great. That grace is it's been used religiously. It's not exclusively a religious term. But right. You know, that's something that we can all gather from. Sit back, take a breather, know that you're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You know, hopefully you're in an environment where people can understand and work with you through that moment. But that's part, I think that's part of sustainability, like having that grace, right? Like towards yourself, like you said at the very beginning. One of the issues you had was your relationship to yourself wasn't that good, right? And so I think people listening are going to say, well, hey, I think people are always going to try and make excuses for why I can't, right? The path of least resistance is what we usually will take. But if you practice grace, know that you're not perfect, get back on the bike, rewrite your business plan, go back and ask another person for the loan. You know how many loans, speaking of loans and persistency and consistency and grace, you know how many loans it took for Howard Schultz, the starter of Starbucks, to get somebody to finance his idea? Over 220 no's. Think about that. Over 220 no's before he got a yes. And so if you think about what the 100 no meant, think about what the 50th no, think about what the 60, think about what the 150. You think that person said, man, I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm sure he thought about walking away. But the grace, right? The sense of, okay, I got to keep trying. There's another way. It doesn't mean you're not going to get tired and sweat. And because Mark is a fitness guy, he's a fitness trainer. This makes sense to him for sure. But you're going to sweat. You're going to pour tears. Your feet going to hurt. Your leg's going to hurt. It's just going to happen. If you understand the journey was what Mark talked about, right? Understanding it's the process. That's the joy. Then maybe that could help you become more sustainable. So Mark, matter of fact, guys, I have Mark's website right here. I think there it is. There's Mark's website. Look at that handsome dude posing with his shirt off. So Mark's website is Paysant Fitness. Did I say that right, Mark?
Yeah, Paysant Fitness. Yeah.
PaysantFitness.com. Actually, it is... What's the actual? What's the actual address?
You can just Google it and it'll pop up. So
yeah,
or just go Paysant_fitness@IG. So you can do that too.
Copy. So I for those of you who are watching on YouTube, you see me interacting with his website right here, right now. But this is Mark's website. You can see his transformation right here. Pretty awesome stuff. He's serious about the doggone thing. So Mark, what's some of the final thoughts you want to share, right? We went through the whole process of, yes, it was physical journey that I needed to change. I saw myself in the mirror and I didn't like what I saw. Then secondly, there was a lot of psychological changes and mental, physiological, but psychological and in material pieces that you went through. Mm-hmm. Thanks to therapy, coaching, you went through all of that process. You dealt with some childhood stuff. Okay. Now you understand that, hey, I want to maintain. Right. So now we're talking about maintaining. Now we're talking about prioritizing what's most important in order to maintain, i.e. grace, i.e. be present. Mm-hmm. Yep. What are some closing thoughts you want to share with people who still want to say, I can't do this. You guys are different. Y'all like David Goggins. I'm telling you, we're not David Goggins, dog. I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, when I get done with this interview, I'm going to be looking for the first thing to eat that's probably unhealthy.
I had a Belgian waffle. I had a Belgian waffle before I even got out of here with some good syrup. But I will leave people with this. One, we're not talking about a lot of time. Yes, do I spend a lot of time at the gym? Yeah, but I gotta, you know, most of the time, you know, I'm working out with people. I'm talking to, I know people there. I'm working out, I'm training my sister right now, who's doing a great job. But I want people to understand that without purpose or intent, there really is no reason to be doing this. And I don't want to seem black and white, and I don't want to seem, you know, mean when I say that. But the fact is this, if you look in the mirror, if you talk to people, if you wake up in the morning and you figure you're happy where you're at, then stay there. Then stay there. I'm telling you right, like people won't tell you this. People, like, I'm telling you right, you don't have to listen to anything I've said. You can say a Mark is full of, you know what, I have no problem with it. However, if you're listening to this and say, you know what, that guy is, he's nice, he's empathetic, he hasn't beat me up, he's talked about his own issues, like, and I kind of want to have a little bit of that, then pick something that you can do with intent. I would tell you right now, running is not for everybody. Swimming is not for, the gym is not for everybody. Cycling. However, if you really like your outside of your house to look nice, start guarding it, gardening, but do it with intent. Start seeing how many calories you burn while you're doing that. If you really like living on a beach or vacationing or going to the, if you live 30 minutes from the beach, guess what? Drive to the beach, go for a walk on the beach. And I want to tell people this because I want you to succeed. I am not belittling you. I am not making fun of the things you do, but I really want you to succeed. Find something you like and make it into a sport. Make it into a fitness routine. I love running. I do. I love going to the gym. I don't like cycling. I'm not a big fan of swimming yet. I don't like hiking. You don't see me like making myself hike, but I will go out for a run and I will go to the gym. And those are the things that I like. So find the thing that you can do with intent and purpose and then make it into that game for yourself.
Awesome, man. Wow. What a great interview, Mark. We walked through some important things, man. So my final question is, what's next in your life? What's the next move for you? What's the next thing that you're looking to accomplish in order to sustain all this great stuff you're doing, brother?
Well, I'm glad you actually asked me that. I've started actually doing one-on-one soccer training because I've done basketball in the past, and I've just started with a young girl who is a senior in high school going to play, you know, college soccer next year. And the reason I want to do this is because, yes, I can get you into physical shape, but I would love to help people with that transition from high school to college ball. So I'm going to start doing that. And then, of course, just continuing with the personal training and making sure that I allow people to just be cool with who they are. I don't want to beat anybody up. I want people to see that this process can actually be fun. Like I said,
right,
happiness is in the process. Let's do that together.
Right. Amen to that, brother. Well, man, I am excited, Mark, and very, very blessed to get to know you, to know your story, to know what you're doing in the world to make this world a better place. This podcast is all about the words that are spoken that can change our lives, right? That can really empower people, or it can tear down people, or it can empower people. It can create a very hostile world, or we can begin creating a better world through the words that we speak. And the story, the words that you shared today, I think will help us accomplish that goal and accomplish that mission. So we want to continue to support what you're doing. So once again, Mark, how can people connect with you if they want to know more? Not only your website, I have your website here, mm-hmm. but give us some socials or whatever. And I'll make sure I include all of this stuff in the show notes. But if people want to connect you and get connected with your physical, your personal training program, how can they get in contact with you?
I'll tell you right now, the easiest way is either going to be on LinkedIn, which you can just use Marc Paysant, MarcPaisant, and then IG with my Relatively Normal, which is Relatively Normal Pod on IG, and Paysant _ fitness on IG. Those are the easiest ways to find me. And I respond. I'll tell you right now, if you're not looking to get a trainer or anything like that, or you just want someone to listen and someone to bounce some ideas off of, I love talking to people about being the best versions of themselves. So hit me up. I'm always available.
Amen to that. Well, guys, another podcast in the books. Man, I am happy that you guys got a chance to meet Marc. Marc, I'm so glad, man, that we connected. I look forward to further connections in the near future. And so, man, we're going to bless you as you go. And all your successes, everything that you're putting out on the table, all the people that you're helping, including your wonderful family, we want to wish you the best, man. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord cause the wonderful face of the divine to shine upon you. May you experience peace in your life and in that which is to come. So, brother, bless you, man. I look forward to talking with you soon, okay?
I appreciate it. This has been great.
Well, guys, there you have it. What a wonderful, wonderful show with our special guest, Marc Paysant. Please make sure you check him out. Just to recap, here's what we talked about once again. We talked about, right, sustainability. We talked about how you can sustain the changes that you go through simply by doing things that you like, giving yourself a little grace, having coaches in your life, having people in your life that could help you get from where you are to where you want to be. That's what this episode was all about. And for me, I think one of the most important things Marc said was, it's not just the physical things that make you happy. It's not just the nice house and nice cars, and all of these things are great and a great career, but there's something deeper at play. So don't neglect the immaterial part of who you are. Don't neglect your soul. Don't neglect your spirit, but pay attention to those things. Just like you have a physical coach to help you with your physical body, you need a spiritual coach, somebody that can help you. And I'm absolutely available for those who are listening to help you connect with that. If you're new to the Words for Change podcast family, website is right there, chapstalk.org. We'd love to connect with you at any point, at any time, to help you with your spiritual growth and personal growth process. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you for the next podcast. Until next time, say things that make the world a better place. I'm out. Peace.